Good afternoon. Today is Monday, August the... Boy, it's August the 20th already. 233rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from Redwood Capital Bank, the CFO of the organization, Fred Moore Jr. Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you have aspirations to be the regular representing the bank here on the show?
Absolutely not, sir. We're in good hands.
Good. Think small and live there. It's always safer.
I have big shoes to fill today. I've been told that. And have you seen his feet? They're much bigger than mine.
This could be one of the truly uglier programs of the year. Get a couple locals together, and you never know what really is going to happen. So we'll talk a bit about some of the different challenges that Fred runs into, not only as the financial officer for the bank, but with the regulatory climate that exists. What are some of the challenges that are incorporated into a financial services entity on a regular basis, quarterly, but also on a daily basis as well? We'll talk about some of those things when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Moore Jr. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, a successful quote.
Good.
Yeah, it's just because you're wearing a jacket and you're intimidating me. Woodrow Wilson. I would rather fail in a cause that will ultimately triumph than to triumph in a cause that will ultimately fail. Yeah, League of Nations, Woodrow. That one went over like a lead balloon, huh?
Well, that you could apply that to parenthood, I think. But maybe that's just where my mind is right now.
I see. Back to school means something to you, huh?
Yes, it does.
Fred, what is the biggest surprise that people have when they hear about their bank, credit union, whatever, and how much regulation there is?
Biggest surprise is probably how often our regulatory friends visit. So we see our regulators in a bank. I can't speak for credit unions, although I know it is similar. We deal with the California Department of Financial Institutions, the CDFI, the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and the FRB, which is the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. So we have three different entities, each looking at us from a different perspective.
Same information? Different perspective?
Essentially, the FRB and the FDIC is very similar. The state is more state-specific, but they do share time with us. It's always interesting in that we'll have 12 to 15 regulators stopping by for their annual visit, and they're all in suits and ties. So being a local person, you can obviously imagine they stand out.
Yeah, they stand out
downtown.
When the regulators are there, most of us, if we're dealing with that breed of cat, aren't particularly open arms. It's why am I getting picked on, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. You know, OSHA, I guess, would probably be a prime mm-hmm. time one that's a sensitive one for a lot of folks locally. John has shared, though, that your guys' attitude's a little bit different. Is it because of the culture that you guys develop, or is it because they're there so often you almost by default develop relationships with them on mm-hmm. a personal as well as on a professional basis?
Maybe a little bit of both, Brian. I think John is a master at creating a culture of compassion, collaboration. And we truly look at the regulators as stakeholders in our shop. Of course, being a publicly traded institution, our shareholders are our stakeholders, our customers are our stakeholders. But in our mind, the regulators as well as our vendors are stakeholders as well. So it is a partnership. And John will tell you that we learn as much about and from them as they do us.
I bet you'd rather have other bank dudes come in.
other bank dudes.
To learn ideas and ways to do things than necessarily having from those who have the power that regulators do.
As a relatively young organization, we're roughly 8-9 years old, we tend to get the younger, greener variety of regulator.
Oh, really?
So we tend to be a cleaner, well-run shop. And so I think maybe I'm imagining this, but they tend to send the greener, younger regulators. And so we end up repeating ourselves sometimes. But, you know, that tends to reinforce who we are and what we're doing sometimes.
So some of the other folks would get the more experience, which would mean that they would be looking for the exceptional stuff? Or those are the guys that really have their act together, so they don't need to be fresh out of school to know what all the rules are. They are coming from a different place.
I think with this whole mantra of too big to fail, there is this notion that you're too small to matter. But in our case, too big to fail means from the customer's perspective, too big to really care if you're too big to fail. The small shops tend to be pretty clean and non-complex. We've had a lot of banking failures recently, or when I say recently, over the past 4 or 5 years, and they tend to send the more seasoned examiners into these troubled shops to be expedient about looking at these problems, identifying them, and hopefully resolving them.
Nip it in the bud kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're using fancy words. I got lost.
Okay, that happens to me sometimes too. What did I say now?
Yeah. What percentage of the week, day, month, take your pick, for you deals with regulatory issues? Either they're here, you're getting ready for them being here, or they just were here and now you're doing the mop-up.
Percentage of a day, week, month, that's probably 25%.
Really, that high?
Well,
wow.
There are a lot of people looking at the bank. So we have not only the regulatory examiners, but we have internal auditors. And those internal auditors are generally co-sourced individuals who are seasoned bankers who basically have now kind of, as we say, crossed over into the audit arena. And they come in and audit the bank.
You've gone over to the dark side? Is that what you're saying?
I saw you infer that. I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, let's let everybody reflect on that just for a little bit. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Fred Moore, Jr. Fred's the CFO at Redwood Capital Bank, or the shoe filler inner for today.
Halfway.
Yeah. Fred, why banking? What got you going into the career path that ended you up with guys that count pennies?
That's a very good question. I worked for one of your regular talk shop hosts, Bill McCauley, and earned my CPA license, and I quickly realized that I could not fill his shoes, as big as his feet are. But Billy said, you know, he was very good and taught me a lot about accounting, and a lot of that I continue to use today. But really, you know, my dad, who was Fred Moore Jr., I'm actually Fred Moore the
III. That's right, you're Fred Moore III, aren't you?
But I'm happy to be Junior anytime.
I should have remembered that.
So that happens. He was in public service politics for 56 and a half years. And one piece of advice he gave me was, don't ever try to do what I'm doing, because you can only hope to please half the people half the time. Brian, with two teenage daughters, I can barely do that in my own house. So I knew politics wasn't for me. And I went back to school. I got my degree in business management, got my CPA license, as I said, working for Bill, and learned that accounting's a good skill that's universally transferable. And I had mentors like Ted Mason and Edie Vasade and John Dalby, who was a friend, colleague, and mentor. And I liked what they did. because it had to do with, as you said, counting pennies, but it's also there that human interaction, and there's that connection with the people. And
that would be the personality part that isn't there in the CPA world?
I'm not saying that. Bill's too close to me because he is on our board of directors.
Yeah, he works right across the street. Yeah,
yes,
right.
He does.
You're within gunshot range,
yes.
Aren't you?
So let's just say there's more people interaction in the banking business.
But the number, I wonder, I've not asked other buddies. For me in school, numbers were an enigma.
Okay.
Okay, I remember one thing out of geometry. 3-4-5 triangle. So I can make a deck square. Okay, fine. Really handy.
If you have a big house.
Yeah. And algebra. I enjoyed the playing of the game with algebra.
Old Howard Friel.
Yeah, well, I had Frank Coutil.
So. Oh, Frank, yes.
But numbers and me just don't tend to get along because everything is black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You're right or you're wrong. You can't have much creativity
mm-hmm.
with numbers. Or if you do, you get lit up and you go buy and steal mm-hmm. cars. When you were going through school, were you numbers? Did numbers always, were they comfortable for you?
Yeah, it appealed to me. I've heard you use the term tip of the iceberg recently. And for a creative mind like you, that tip of the iceberg works. For me, it's more about quantifiable. It's more about black and white, debits and credits. And, oh, by the way, they all match up at the end of the day. So that was, I think, there's a sense of solace, there's a sense of comfort in having everything that matches up. And I guess I tend to be that type of person. As I've aged, I tend to be a little bit more creative in some respects, which I think is counterintuitive.
So you kick butt in Sudoku is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know about I don't know about that.
See, you can go 1-9. I get lost on that trail.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun game. I don't really have enough time to play it right now.
Yeah. Hey, you're just chasing your teenage daughters all over the place.
Trying
or those
to.
Chasing your teenage daughters all over the place.
Amen. Yeah.
If somebody wanted to get into banking, what would you tell them?
Well, come talk to us. You know, I say get a good broad base of experience in business management. I think for me, the notion is that I'm the CFO. There's many things entailed in that job. So there's numbers, of course, but there's legal regulatory compliance. You talked about that earlier. There's also human resources. There's also advertising marketing. There's legal stuff that we interface with. And so there's a lot of different components into a small bank that fit well with somebody who has a knack. For me, I went to Ted Mason, said, Ted, how do I get to be a banker? And he said, well, finish your college degree, come back to us, and we'll put you to school. He was at B of A. Then he started Humboldt Bank, and of course, the rest is history, and John and I both had the pleasure of working for and with Ted and Edie and the good folks over there.
Bigger banks have more specialization per position?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So if you find one of those areas that you really excel in,
sure,
you're probably looking at larger banks rather than the community banks.
Absolutely. There's more depth there and less breadth. You know, you more jack of all trades in a small bank.
Rifle shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, news and information. Well, wait a minute. I almost took a break early. Not that I'd want to cut you off.
I'll take you at your word.
Fair enough. The area of regulatory interactions. Can you build a career on just working with regulators?
Certainly can. I worked initially with the folks at Humboldt Bank as the regulatory compliance officer. A pretty large institution. You know, we grew from around 200 to 300 million to over $1 billion in assets. At that time, they were also in the Roseville, Sacramento Valley. So there's a broad swath there to cover, and there are a lot of regulations. I know you've talked about it before with John Dalby, Dodd-Frank, so on and so forth. There are people who work exclusively in that area.
KINS, news and information time. Now it's time for that break. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Fred Moore.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's To Your Health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Moore, CFO at Redwood Capital Bank. Fred, the concept of careers in banking, I know you've done it, John and everybody has done it, you got Dean and the gang at the credit union that have done it. Is it an area that's becoming more and more rigorous as a career path because of all the regulation, because of all the questioning, because of the federal government and the state regulators and all these people all coming down on top and looking and poking and prodding? Is it tougher to have a career there and avoid the burnouts and not having fun?
It's an insightful question. I think the answer is yes. It depends on your geography too, Brian. I mean, here on the North Coast, we enjoy a quality of life that's second to none. However, as far as starting a financial institution and running one in this environment, you'd be hard-pressed to do that. So with all of the oversight and pressures and attention that is focused on credit unions and banks now, I think it's becoming more difficult, especially in remote geographies like ours.
The remoteness being what kind of a compounding factor?
Well, if you're in a big metropolitan market, there may be more jobs and thus more career opportunities. In small markets like ours, very difficult to find those opportunities.
Because the chains, so to speak, are running more satellite than they are independent units out there in the field?
Their administration is much more lean and centralized. So in a geography like ours, many of the banks don't have any administrative folks or decision makers, Coast Central, Redwood Capital being the exception. I think North Valley probably has a few folks here and there, same with Umpqua. But, you know, unless you're headquartered here.
By and large, there's a string that gets pulled, and that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see that potentially swinging backward or back to, or get the pendulum moving in the other direction in the future, or is this kind of what you sense the next 10 or 15 years is going to be like?
My sense of it is very limited in terms of what I know and who I am. I don't have the crystal ball.
But you got the trades, and I mean, you see the industry trends.
I think our hope as an institution is that it will swing around, that there are tangible economic benefits to having a locally run and operated shop. We take local deposits, just like Coast Central does, and we invest them in local loans to start or grow somebody's business, to help somebody buy a home. That's real economic impact. So I think that matters. And having a community bank in an area where community is important or where it resonates matters. So I think eventually that pendulum will swing back as people see that connection and that relationship. John Dalby's modicum, our mantra every day, is for us to make it the highlight of our customer's day. Whether that's the investors, that's the shareholders, that's the vendors, that's the regulators, or our customers. So depending on who we're working with, we have a sense of obligation to treat them fairly.
When the economy is back and humming, there must be a role for larger financial institutions, even in the small little backwaters where we are.
Sure.
I'm thinking, you know, we go back some of these old logging mills that were here. Let's say my name is William Carson. Okay. And I'm just...
It's nice to meet you. You have a lovely home,
in,
sir.
In off the boat, right? Okay. So I'm looking for enough capital to build a sawmill. You guys are never going to have that. Or even if you do, you shouldn't loan. Okay, I need $500 million to get this thing off the pencils out.
Right.
But I come in and, yeah, the reaction is kind of like what I'm getting now. Oh, no.
I'm just smiling.
Yeah. So okay, can't go there. But the guys that are international, yeah, those are the guys that you would probably have to go to for a note of that kind of magnitude. Can you get that thing now, or do you have to have, can you have a local in that scenario in 15 years who might be able then to sell it into the system for you?
Short answer is it depends. The more complex and accurate answer is you've touched on a couple of issues there. Legal lending limits. So banks have legal lending limits that are based on their size of their balance sheet, more specifically how much equity or capital they have.
So a percentage of?
25% of our capital. So for us, that's $5 or $6 million. Okay. So that's our legal lending limit. So we'd be precluded.
That's everybody, not one note.
That is for that borrower.
Okay, so it's
per borrower based.
Okay.
So that's how that works. I see you taking notes now.
No, I don't. The borrower based is.
So yeah, like it's based on that. And then you touched on another point, which is concentration. So banks have one borrower that comprises a large percentage of their loan portfolio. That's unduly risky. And the friends we just spoke about, the regulators, are going to take some issue, or they're at least going to scrutinize that pretty heavily. So it depends. We can do that with partners. We have other banks that are community-based throughout the country that will help us to what we call participate that loan.
So you in theory, could do a $500 million dollar note?
We could be a lead organization. That a $500 million note would be a little over our size because our balance sheet's about half of that. It's about $240 or $250 million. But we can do loans that are larger than our legal lending limit if it's prudent to do so within certain constraints.
So if it makes sense, there are connections that can be made to make that happen.
Sure.
Again, speaking to a radio guy here, you're really basically, you know, two syllables are good, one's better.
Yeah.
Keep it down, man.
Will do.
Good job.
Thank you.
And it could go on and on and on. But it won't. KINS, News and Information Time, 3:42. We'll be back with more from Fred Moore.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Moore. Fred, the career track, there are people who are numbers people. There are people who are black and white people. Is there room for someone who is not the accountant business major in banking? Are some of those professional options, I guess, other than grounds maintenance, are they available for college grads to be in banking, but not to be the stereotypical banker?
I think there are. I think we have marketing folks. We have Mary Curlis Smith, who is not necessarily a black and white person unless she needs to be. She's very creative. She's very spontaneous. She's the brains behind our current advertising campaign. So there are folks like that. And then there are folks who get creative at helping local businesses find financial solutions.
That's what I was wondering.
So there are those options.
So if I, let's say if I'm a restaurant, okay, home economics or whatever, and that's my major. Okay, now I know that industry inside and out. Is there a place for me in banking in the lending arena, either as an assistant to somebody or on their own? Look at the numbers, come up with the numbers, make the suggestions, thumbs up, thumbs down, because I know that industry inside and out.
I'm not a lender, so I can't really speak articulately to that. I know that we have a loan committee. So for bigger loans at the bank, we have a subcommittee of our board of directors. And as you know, if you look at our board, they're very engaged and they come from a cross section of professions. So they know a lot of different industries inside and out. So they use that knowledge to help our lenders and our customers find creative financial solutions.
Or maybe it's the larger institutions that we were alluding to that have
silos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be one of those areas where the niches are.
Yeah.
Because I would think if you know agriculture and you're in the Midwest, there are going to be banks that are going to be wanting you because of your knowledge in that niche.
Certainly, certainly that's the case. Yeah.
What about with projections and forecasting in industries or for the banking industry itself?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know where you're going to be in 2 years?
The short answer is you don't know where you're going to be. But we have access, there's a wealth of information available, as you know, and so we have access to some of that information that will give us industry-specific data on where they're at based on the size of that, the age of that company. So there is some data out there. I'll grant you that Humboldt County is somewhat of an enigma in that, you know, we support local businesses maybe a little more than the rest of the country, but there are some economic indicators out there that help us guide our decisions.
And again, if somebody wanted to sit down and spend 10 minutes with you and say, I'm thinking about, you'd be interested in talking with them?
Absolutely.
Cool.
I don't know that I'm the best guide, and you know that better than
I don't either, but yeah, we start where we start.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'd be happy to talk to somebody about it.
Good deal. Thanks for coming by, Fred.
You bet.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Fred Moore. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.